Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. All right. I've seen some recent situations and some readings in the paper, and divorce is popping back up on my radar screen. So we thought we'd have a returning guest come back to us. And she is, well, she's a super lawyer is what she is. Donna Harris is one of my, there she is. Hi, Donna.
Hey, David, how are you today?
Good. I always see if I can get by with my introductions before my guest starts to laugh or start to participate. So I got you to come right on. I want to properly introduce you, Donna, because you are just a giant in your particular field of choice, practicing in the state of Texas since 1978.
Yep.
Specializing in family law, 22 years in practice as active trial lawyer, engaging in a regular basis and in some of these very high conflict cases. And then you went to mediation,
right,
and doing a lot of work the last 15 years there, and you've had your own successful mediation firm. So congratulations, hats off to you.
Thank you.
Outstanding.
I'm very blessed. I appreciate it.
Well,
David,
the blessing, seems to be for all the folks there in Texas that can take advantage of your services. And you've been named Super Lawyer in Texas for 7 years in a row.
Yep.
And you're in the top 5% for lawyers in the state. And then you go on to be one of the best recognized lawyers in Dallas. And then one of the best lawyers in America, 22nd edition of the best lawyers in America. Wow. Okay. So
first,
let me take advantage
of
all that expertise, Donna. Okay. I've only got about 6 hours. So if you can just, you know, we'll take this a little bit at a time. Okay.
I got you.
27 minutes. Here we go.
Okay.
All right. So the most important thing I want to glean from you, because you have such a great background, and I love that you're willing to come on and talk with us. Donna and I met, what was that? How many years ago was that, Donna?
Oh, more than I can remember, but
right.
I kind of bonded with you and really enjoyed the course we took together, and we've been friends since then.
All right. Well, that was an expensive cup of coffee I got you. Let me tell you, I've had you back to talk with me for getting you a cup of coffee. Well, listen, let's dive right in. So, why, for our listeners that are out there, let's say somebody's in the middle of a divorce,
okay,
they're thinking about divorce, you know, whatever the case may be, why, from your perspective, because you've done both, why mediation instead of just ramming it through a trial?
Mediation, David, is one of the best ways to handle a high conflict divorce for one most important reason, and that is that it gives both the husband and the wife the best chance they'll ever have going through the divorce process to have as much control as is possible over what happens to their property, over what happens to their children, over what happens to whatever issue may be involved in the divorce.
Hmm.
Because when you go to trial before a judge, no matter who that judge is a stranger to the litigant.
Hmm.
And common sense tells you, you don't want a stranger telling you what to do with your hard-earned money.
True.
Or 401k or home, or especially your children. So
you
the
know,
process of mediation gives parties a chance at control.
All right. That's excellent. And you know, one of the things that really I think most people don't realize, and I've really tried to wrap my brain around this over the years, you know, our society and the way it functions, our court systems, our legal system, our election process, all these things, you know, they're very steeped in history, and they're all, a lot of it's born out of course, Europe, where, you know, much of America, immigrated from. And we adopted a lot of what we brought from there. And one of the things that I think a lot of people don't realize, Donna, and I would love for you to share this with us, and it's a little bit off the topic, but I think it could be very helpful for our listeners.
Sure.
When we step into a courtroom, that judge, in that bubble of the courtroom, they have, not just in divorce, but in other situations, they have near, like almost like a king or queen power.
That's exactly right. Exactly right, David. And that's the whole purpose of trying to avoid having someone rule over your own personal kingdom who's not the king or queen of it.
Hmm.
And a mediator, the mediation process is the best way to do that. Because no matter how well prepared you are, no matter how confident you feel in your facts, the judge is a human being, and you could have literally, I tell this to people almost every day, you could have a glass wall and have 10 different judges hear the same facts and get 10 different rulings. And that's because judges are human. They have their own predispositions. They have their own likes and dislikes, and they're a stranger to you. That's the main thing to understand. And you're right. Maintain control of your own kingdom. Don't give it to somebody else, even if they are a judge.
Well, now the cost of that is you, of course, you know, in exchange for getting more control with mediation. And that's when the parties come together, see if they can basically work it out. And a lot of what you've done is you are, is your role is to mediate, and that puts you in kind of the center, the neutral party?
Yes. At the beginning, that's exactly it. At the beginning of each of my mediation sessions, I give both parties, the husband and his lawyer in one room, and the wife and her lawyer in another, I give them, David, what I call a mediator spiel.
Okay.
And part of that spiel is for them to understand that even though I'm a old, jaded, cynical, seasoned divorce lawyer, I am not a judge, and I'm not there to force a mediation settlement. I'm there to help find it. And I'm like Switzerland. I'm a neutral third party. So
right.
I have no power or desire to force feed anything down them. I simply try to help them find, through the process of offer and counteroffer, back and forth all day long. Frankly, I call it trying on pairs of shoes, as goofy as that sounds. We're trying on different ideas, different options. And just like when you go shoe shopping, you don't buy the first pair of shoes you try on. You keep trying them.
So, well, and you have to get a pair that's more than that two-hour shoe, right? It's got to be something that can go all day.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. It's got to be something they can walk away from that courthouse in knowing it's comfortable enough to walk indefinitely. Mm-hmm. So that's exactly right.
Well, I was thinking, to continue that analogy, Donna, that you must put on some roller skates or go back and forth between the two different rooms.
You know, David, I worked my way through law school and undergrad as a waitress, and I learned to hustle from table to table to table. And there are days in my life I feel like I'm back waiting tables because I rush to rush and hurry to hurry, and you're right, I skate from one room to the other because time is precious in mediation. We schedule a full-day mediation for 8 hours. And if you have property and children involved in a divorce, 8 hours is rarely enough to handle it. So I try to be very judicious of my time, and I do skate back and forth.
I bet you do.
That's true.
That's a good way to put it. All right, ladies and gentlemen, Donna Harris, you can see why she's back. She's just wonderful. I love talking to her. I can listen to her all day, to be honest with you.
My joy.
All right. Well, hold right there, Donna. We're going to grab a quick break. We'll come back, and I've got some questions for you, so stay tuned.
You wouldn't drop your car off for repair service without first getting an estimate, would you? Of course not. Then why would you treat your all-important investment portfolio any different? Overlooked fees can really add up. Here's an example. Did you know that an extra fee of 1% on a $100,000 portfolio would equal $10,000 after 10 years? That's a lot of money. Do you know how much you're paying in fees? Why don't you get a second opinion from David Holland and invest with confidence? Call 671-PLAN. That's 671-PLAN. Or visit planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation.
And we are back, ladies and gentlemen. Donna Harris, one of my favorites. Glad to have her with us. And we're talking about mediation as part of divorce. And I know that, Donna, for a lot of the work you do that in Texas, remind me, they as part of the divorce process, before they can get to their day in court, they require mediation?
You know, that's a judge-by-judge, court-by-court decision. However, in the counties I practice, which are Dallas County and two adjacent counties, which are Collin County, which has really grown a lot in the last 10 years, grown north, and then Denton County, those three counties, most of the family law judges, if you have a high conflict case, especially if it involves contested custody, most judges mandate mediation before they even let you set a trial date. So it's not a local or county or state law, it's just a normal policy of most judges.
That makes sense. Well, so now if somebody, you know, if somebody's going to mediation to try to resolve this without all this extra, you know, issues with court and loss of control, and of course, not to mention the legal expense.
That's the big one.
Yeah. So can they go to mediation? Do they need to have an attorney with them, or can they go by themselves? What would you recommend?
In my personal practice, I have tried pretty much everything there is to try, and I have found it is not effective to mediate a case, David, unless each side has their own lawyer, each side has their own coach, because a mediator is strictly prohibited from giving legal advice or drafting pleadings.
I see.
Most lawyers, most mediators that do it the way I do, I'll say, will not mediate a case unless both sides have a lawyer.
Okay. All right. Well, part of that, too, of course, is, you know, as you already alluded to, you know, you're talking about very often what you call, quote unquote, high conflict, which is really a nice way to say emotional situations.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
You need the attorney there to help you kind of stay on task. And, you know, back to the loss of control going into court, you know, of course, your attorney is there as well. You're not necessarily thrown to the wolves, but you do not have the same control in terms of reaching something you can put your name to as you would with mediation.
That's exactly right. And most people, understandably, David, have a misconception. Oh, gosh, if I could just get down before that judge and I could talk to that judge personally and let that judge hear my story.
Let me tell him how much of a bum he or she is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But they don't understand that the judge, again, is a human being.
Right.
And some work harder than others. Some pay more attention than others. They're humans. And most importantly, the judge has to follow the law.
Right.
When a judge puts his or her robe on, he is required or she mandatorily to follow state law. And a judge can't change the law just because some special person or who thinks they're special comes in the courtroom. And it's often deflating to tell that to someone.
Yeah.
I have to tell them things all day long they don't want to hear.
I'm sure. Well, you know, it's interesting. You talk about putting on that robe, but when they put that robe on, it's not a robot underneath. They're still human.
Right.
And they're going to make mistakes, or they may, and you know what? They probably, I know, it's no different than what we hear about with the police force. You know,
true.
There are still police officers, you know, 99.9% are fantastic and do us very well, and I'm sure the same is true with judges, but there are still biases. There are still, you know, different perspectives out there that may get in the way, and you may not know it till it's too late.
You know, David, I hadn't thought about that. That's an outstanding analogy. I will say that, by and large, most of our judges in all three counties I practice in are good judges, if you will. But good judges can have bad days.
Sure.
Good judges can have a difference of opinion. Good judges, I had a judge not too long ago show up in court and was just off his beat, off his game. And he, at the end of the hearing, said, you know, I had a personal situation in my family yesterday, and I almost didn't come to court today. I wish I hadn't. He said that from the bench.
Wow!
So
everybody's thinking, yeah, we thought you shouldn't have either.
We thought the same thing. We thought you were mad at us. You know.
Well, let me kind of connect a dot here, and I know you're already there, Donna, but for our listeners, so is it fair to say that part of what you do with mediation is in gaining control? It means that you might have to give up your firm, you know, diametrical position versus your foe in that proceeding to get a little bit of that control?
Absolutely. What people have to understand, and again, I see their faces deflate when I have to be the one to be the bad guy to tell them this. I always explain, we usually have food at mediations because a lot of people like to eat when they're stressed. So I'll say, look, I hate to tell you this, but your options are not picking between donut holes and those chocolate chip cookies over there. You're not picking from options in any divorce, any lawsuit, in fact, which taste good. Mm. You have to pick options that don't taste as good as you'd like. You have to pick a pair of shoes that are comfortable enough to wear, but they're not your very, very favorite.
Right.
But the beauty of that, again, is that at least you had some control, some partial input as to what shoe you wear or what kind of food you eat, as opposed to a judge saying, here's you a big old plate of liver and some fried onions, and I don't care if you like liver or not, you eat this.
And you're walking out in a pair of combat boots.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's a good point right there. Excellent point, David. When people have a trial, a contested ugly trial, the statistics clearly show that the probabilities for that same divorcing couple, if they have children involved, statistics show that they will be back to court sooner rather than later asking that judge to modify something regarding the children because they were unhappy or felt like they lost, if you will, or that the judge was unfair the last go-round. A lot of people don't understand that, at least in Texas, when you get divorced with children, the court takes a snapshot of where the parties are right now, literally the day of trial. But things change in a year or two or three from now.
Sure.
So you have a right as a parent to file a request to modify. And those requests to modifies, again, statistically are filed much sooner rather than later if people duke it out in court.
Now,
you know, they said these things about me. That's not true. It's just a much better way to handle it is to not try it.
Well, so if you do the mediation, that brings me to another good question. Is mediation binding?
Mediation is binding if the parties assign what's called a mediated settlement agreement, which is simply a fancy term for a contract.
Okay.
Like any contract, it's binding. At mediation, the mediator is not an arbitrator. People get understandably confused the difference between a mediator and an arbitrator. An arbitrator is kind of like hiring a private judge, and you sign papers ahead of your time to meet with the arbitrator to give that mediator the same powers as a state district judge. Well, most people don't like doing that.
Right.
They prefer to go to a mediator, and a mediator is called a facilitator.
Okay.
And I try to facilitate an agreement, but nothing that I do is binding. I try to get them to, if you will, buy that pair of shoes that's comfortable, as good or better than what the judge would do, and then voluntarily sign the contract. But once they voluntarily sign that contract, yes, it's binding.
Well, I'm glad you cleared that up for us, Donna, because, you know, for all this time, I've always thought that arbitrator was somebody that really, really liked Arby's restaurant. Thank God you're here. Let me tell you, if you're just joining us, Donna Harris is on the line with me, and, you know, she's trying to...
I told you I was smart. I figured that out for you, David.
You got me. You got it. So, all right, we're going to grab a quick break. We'll let Donna get together there, and we'll start back again. Hold right there.
Sounds good.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Just ask a stockbroker or insurance agent how you should invest your money, and what do you think they would say? Unfortunately, if an advisor is limited in what he can offer, that advisor is often understandably biased. You need to ask questions like what products and services they can and cannot offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This PSA has been brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com. Do you have financial questions you'd like answered on this show? Send them to questions@planstronger.com. You will remain anonymous.
All right, Donna, we're back. Donna Harris, ladies and gentlemen, on the line with us. Is it true? Is it 4 decades?
I hate to admit that. Wow. It makes me sound old, and I'm way too immature to be as old as I am. But yeah, it's 4 decades.
Wow. So we are stacked double deep here with decades of experience from Donna. So we're glad to have her back. And she's an attorney focusing on mediation. And so that brings me to the next question, which everybody's out there listening going, gosh, if I could have somebody as good as Donna as a mediator, then we would definitely look at that. So let's back it up. How does somebody find a mediator? Is that something that their attorney does? Do they need to go find their own? How does it work?
Yes. Most of the time, family lawyers, I always say we're incestuous. If you do family law, you don't normally do other areas like criminal or probate. We pretty much do family law and that's it. And so the bulk of my lawyers that I see have requested me as a mediator, thank you, Lord. So the attorney is the one who gets together with the other attorney that represents the other side and says, hey, let's pick a mediator.
Sure.
And one procedure is one lawyer might send 3 names of mediators to the other side, and the other side picks one of those 3. That's the most common way that a mediator is hired. However, if you have lawyers who can't even agree on which way is up, and they get what the court calls a fat file, they've been down there so many times, that court file is so fat they can hardly close it, those kind of lawyers can't agree on anything, so the judge will say, by golly, I'm appointing Donna Harris or whomever as mediator for this case. Go mediate it. Get out of my court and right. go mediate. Very common.
I love that. Yeah.
The litigants themselves normally don't pick the mediator. That's virtually unheard of. It's selected by the lawyers or the court.
Okay, well, that makes sense. And now, let me ask the question everybody will want to know then is, it's a two-part question. How much does it cost, and then who pays for it?
Normally, each side pays their own fee.
Okay.
There are times when you have the classic traditional displaced homemaker and the high-wage dad that he will agree to pay for both sides. But normally, each side pays their own. Mediators' prices vary from mediator to mediator. My price is $1,250 per party per day. So total, I'm paid $2,500 per day, which is 8 hours. That's a little less than $300 an hour. If we go overtime, it's $375 split in half.
Okay.
Now, as horrific and expensive as that sounds, a contested divorce, that high conflict divorce, David, literally will cost each side tens of thousands of dollars.
You're so right.
It's not unusual for a case to get to me after both lawyers and both litigants have beat each other up. They've gone through the process of discovery and depositions and interrogatories and motions to compel this and just absolutely spent so much money that it is literally almost a crime, in my opinion, because it's tens of thousands of dollars each.
Yeah.
So while $2,500 sounds expensive, a trial would cost $25,000. So
easily,
it's a matter
yeah.
of relativity.
No, that's well put. Well, now there's we've got time for one more subject. And again, it's another, I'm giving you a lot of two-part questions
sure.
here. But one is what you've seen, and this I'm sure is something that is evolving, is the first is the graying of divorce and divorce occurring at older ages. And then the second is now, of course, it's been much in the press and a major development with the same-sex marriage. What you're seeing, are you seeing yet same-sex divorces? So I wanted to hit both those subjects, so take them in whatever order you'd like.
Let's start in the same order you did, the grain of America and the grain of divorce. Sadly, I have to say that in my own practice alone, I've seen more and more and more parties who've been married 25, 30 years, David, who get divorced. And it's heartbreaking, mostly because you just hate to see a divorce that long fall to bits.
Right.
But financially, most people have not taken advantage of a service like you have. They've not gone to a good certified financial planner so that when they hit retirement or, God forbid, divorce at an advanced age. I had one last week, literally last week. The woman was 62 years old, my age. She had never really worked outside the home. Their kids were grown and in college and gone on their own. And they had virtually nothing in the way of property other than the husband's 401k, which when you cut it in half, is not nearly enough to live on.
That's a 201k.
So this woman is 3 years from Social Security, and what's she going to do? She's going to have to live on her principal asset and get a job at best at minimum wage at 62. Those are the heartbreaking ones.
That's terrible. Well, yeah, and I said, I don't know if you heard me, but at 401k, they're going to split it two ways. It's a 201k, and it's not going to go very far.
Exactly. Well said. Exactly. Yeah. Especially after you take taxes. I mean, you know much more about that than I do, obviously, but I can't. People of any age, my mom, who was a child of the Depression, taught me this, and I wish I'd learned it better, but you need to have someone help you like you figure out the long... I never thought in my life, David Holland, that I would wake up and be 60. I never thought that happened to me, but it did. So I can't encourage people enough to get with someone, make a long-term financial plan so that whether they're in a happy retirement as a married couple of many, many decades or whether they're at the divorce court, they're not at the poorhouse.
Thank you, Donna. Well, I appreciate your making
that's
that.
That's just the truth.
Yeah,
it
is a truth. Thank
the
you.
The reality.
And for wherever somebody is listening to this program, if they're in Texas or they're in Alaska or in Florida.
Doesn't matter where.
Doesn't matter where. Go to CFP, Certified Financial Planner. Go to CFP.net And you can do a search and find a certified financial planner in your area. And for people that are thinking about divorce, especially beforehand, you know, one of the things that sometimes I see, Don, and I'm sure you can speak to this as well, is they come to me after it's all over and say, here's what I got. And I say, well, that's fine. But, you know, you can also talk to me before you do all this.
Yes.
You know, now we've got just a minute left. Talk about the second part, which is what you're are you starting to see the same-sex marriages unravel? And
you know, David, I am.
Okay.
As you know, I'm sure the Supreme Court of the United States in July legitimized gay marriage in every state. So I've not seen but one or two divorces, and both of them were married in a different state.
I see.
I have, however, seen quite a few just in the last couple of years, gay couples. I've had three recently. Let me try to cover it as quickly as I can.
Okay.
I had a lesbian woman and a gay man. Obviously, they had no romantic relationship, but they were friends. And they decided to have a baby together.
Oh.
They've never lived together, obviously. They were just friends. So they harvested his sperm and impregnated her. Fast forward 3 years later, and they're still fighting over that three-year-old little girl.
Wow.
Precious little girl. Always asked to see pictures of kids.
Sure.
And they face the exact same issues as a, if you will, traditional divorcing mother and father. They're facing, who pays child support? How
right.
much is that child support? Who carries health insurance? When do I have my possession or visitation?
Mm.
I saw one recently where two gay gentlemen adopted a baby that was at birth, and they lived together, I think it was 10 months before they separated. And again, they're in the family law court. They go down. They have temporary hearings. They fight. They don't fight. They agree. Mm. They disagree. It is no different than the traditional mother and father because the same issues and points arise.
Mm. Well, I tell you what, Donna, we'll have you back to talk more with us. We're out of time. Donna Harris, ladies and gentlemen, she's an attorney in Texas and a good friend of mine, and we enjoy touching base from time to time. Donna, so great to talk to you.
David, thank you so much. I really enjoyed listening to your podcast, and I appreciate you having me on. I look forward to the next time.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.